Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Preds lose the Winter Classic yesterday, 4-2, but a great event. Titans playoff game, Vols, of course, in a bowl game tonight. We'll get back to all of that. Hal Gill going to join us as well in just a few minutes. Casey Alexander, Belmont head basketball coach, joining us here as he gets ready for conference play. And, Coach, you've basically dominated all of the local teams here. You guys are kings of Middle Tennessee, so we'll get to that in a second after the win over Western Kentucky. But David Stern passing away, the commissioner of the NBA, you're obviously a huge basketball fan as well as a coach. Just sort of your thoughts on his passing and what he meant to the game of basketball.
Well, I mean, it's obvious the advancements that has made all that have been made all across the board under his leadership are pretty phenomenal. I mean, and most of it way out of the realm of my thinking, but you know, the television packages and the money, you know, and gosh, you know what those guys are playing for, and the whole game in general, huge influence.
Now, Coach, you guys just finished up non-conference play with your last victory against Western Kentucky. Now you enter into conference play. Did you see what you needed to see from your team as you head into conference play?
Yeah, we did. Especially if you look at that Western game specifically. I mean, I felt like our team is the closest we've been to who we want to be for 40 minutes. You know, every game's going to have some runs by both teams, and you're not going to play perfectly. That's just the nature of the game. But I was really pleased with our effort. I think we have a pretty good idea who we are, what we can do. And so it's a matter now of going out and try to doing it.
Do you think you change your rotation much at all, Coach? I mean, now that, you know, you're in conference play again, SIU, Edwardsville tonight is when you get started, and then you just keep on rolling through the league. Do you have a rotation that you've settled on? Obviously, injuries, you can't see that stuff coming, but
sure.
Do you have the like you said, you're as close as you've wanted to be for 40 minutes in the win over Western Kentucky, which is, you know, just another win over a team in this area. You beat Lipscomb twice, you beat Middle. You know, do you want to have a set rotation, or are you okay moving it around as the league season goes along?
Well, I've always been a guy that's played a lot of players. I mean, our tempo has always been pretty fast. That's kind of required us to play more guys, a deeper bench. I've probably been willing to play some guys who, just for developmental purposes all along the way, even in conference play. So we'll continue to do that. But at the same time, we know who our best five are. We know what our best combinations are. And those are the guys that we'll stick with the most, especially when the situation calls for it.
Casey Alexander, Belmont head basketball coach, joining us here, and they're 9-4 heading into conference play. Coach, the outdoor classic for hockey yesterday, I don't know if you had a chance to see any of it. I know you're zeroed in on what you guys are doing, but is there a space, and I know college has done this, I think Michigan State and North Carolina played on an aircraft carrier. We were just sort of spitballing some ideas, you know, historic neighborhood parks, you know, Rucker comes to mind, of course. Would you be in favor of, you know, an outdoor college basketball event to maybe showcase the sport in some way, shape, or form? How would that look?
Well, it would be interesting, and you're right. They have tried it a couple of times. What's happened, in our game, is like with the aircraft carrier, for example, you know, heat, humidity, things like that, that's not very good for playing a basketball game, and, you know, with slick floors and everything else. So it's become a problem there. But, you know, the attention that you get, you know, any of those, as you mentioned, Rucker Park, something like that, that would be a phenomenal opportunity just to showcase our team, I mean, our game, and bring some attention to, you know, to a couple of programs that would rightfully deserve it.
Now, Coach, obviously you just now enter into conference play, and you probably hadn't had a chance to really look at all the teams. But how do you see this conference as a whole? Do you think it's gotten better from you know, what you've seen of, say, the opponents you're going to face out of conference, what they did out of conference, now you get to play them in conference?
Well, I mean, I think if you ask every coach in the league, they're going to say they've gotten better. You know, I mean, they're going to give you the same answer that I did. Yeah, that's what non-conference play is for, you know. But with any sport and with any division, conference, you know, you name it, the race takes on a life of its own. Mm-hmm. And, in a lot of ways, you know, you are starting over in a lot of ways. The slate is wiped clean for us. When you're talking about a one-bid league most off, on most years, there's new life and chances to kind of make your own path and so forth. And so it'll be competitive. Every league is. It doesn't matter, kind of the quality of the teams from top to bottom. You know, there's a higher level of recognition. Preparation is that much more important. And it just becomes it's a difficult grind for every league. Doesn't matter what division you're playing in, what your league is, how good you are. It's a tougher grind in the non-conference play.
Coach, you got any New Year's? I call them intentions because I think resolutions set you up for success. So, do you have any New Year's intentions out there?
Nah, I'm not really that kind of guy. You know, I like watching everybody else's, but maybe I learned a long time ago that I can't keep them, so I don't even fool with it. But
I'm with you.
Let's just try to be the best today and keep working it that way.
Yeah, I feel like New Year's resolutions, intentions should just be something that happens like every day of your life.
Yeah.
Like just always try to read more or be with your family more or eat better or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah. In the perfect world, that's the way that it would be for sure. But it is nice to kind of start over and everybody kind of looks at the flip of the calendar and says, okay, you know, this is a new chance. I got some new opportunities here. But I'm smart enough to know that any goals that are 365 days for me, I'm probably not keeping.
Yeah, you're only setting yourself up for failure with the resolution term. So I've just done away with it. Coach Alexander from Belmont, obviously the NFL has a switch from the new year. They go right into the postseason. You guys have a non-conference split when the calendar changes. So it certainly is a new vibe and a new feel for you guys. And congrats on a solid non-conference. And best of luck in conference play, Coach. We do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. And they get started tonight with SIU Edwardsville. It's a very good basketball team and always an interesting situation in the OVC. Tennessee on the field tonight against Indiana in a bowl game. Some more college action for you guys. I just think my lesson to fans is if Tennessee loses to again, Indiana has 8 wins. If they win 9 tonight, it will be the winningest team in program history.
Oh,
they have
wow.
not won a bowl game since 1991. So this game probably means a lot more to Indiana than it probably does to Tennessee outside of some of the seniors and you know, Juwan Jennings and the like. It's not that big a deal if you lose the game. Just play well, play a lot of young players. You got good bowl practice out of the deal. You're on national TV. Just don't lay an egg, and I don't think you can read too much into outcomes because we saw Butch Jones dominate bowl games, and it didn't mean anything for the team the next year.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think Indiana's both teams want to win. I'm sure of that. But I think for Indiana, it's a little bit different for two reasons. I think because where they have been, and the Vols have been there as well, but the Vols has their program has history. I mean, great history. Indiana's not quite like UT history, and they've been down, and I think they want to win this game because it gives them an opportunity to recruit and everything else, and it gives them an opportunity to say, hey, we're headed into the offseason on a high note. But then also, I think most importantly is it gives them a chance or an opportunity, however small or big it is, to say we beat an SEC team. Because, you know, if you look up north, they always say, you know, SEC's claim they're the big, you know, they're the big bad dog on the block and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, if Indiana can beat a SEC team, I think it means just a little bit more to them because it's that, you know.
Again, 9 wins in a season, I think they've only done it twice, and it was like 1967.
Exactly.
And like, you know, back in like the 1900, like 1900 something or whatever. I can't remember what year it was. So they haven't accomplished a 9-win season in 50 years. So tonight, you know, they haven't won a bowl game since 91. It's going to mean a lot to Indiana as a football program should they win tonight. And so I'm sorry. It is great for Tennessee's brand to be on national TV tonight and to not look stupid. But it doesn't matter. If Indiana kicks a field goal to win and you lose the game, it doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get too worked up about it, Tennessee fans. I compare the Winter Classic yesterday to how I watch bowl games. The outcome is what it is. It's not going to affect my enjoyment of the fact that, hey, this is our last chance to get to see Tennessee football. This is your last chance as a fan to watch your team. You know, what really matters is that they got there and that they got practice time for their young players, and that's going to help them develop for next year. What matters to the Preds and the Stars is this extravagant spectacle of the sport yesterday that looked great, that went off without a hitch, and everybody celebrated the game of hockey. Sure, the two points mean something more to the Preds than a bowl win or loss does, and the stats count, You know, I get all of that. It's just, it's more about celebrating being a fan and celebrating the moment. And, you know, sure, it'd be great if you won, but it's not really the point, right? Uh-huh. Like, the point is you're in a bowl game, you've returned to the postseason, and you're playing on national TV on January 2nd without any other games happening.
Exactly.
You have the national stage to yourself. Go out there and market your brand. It does not actually matter if you lose by 3 points or whatever. So just keep that in mind tonight, Tennessee fans. I like Tennessee to win. I think they're the better team, and if they play up to snuff, I think they win the game. But don't discount how much this might mean to Indiana.
Exactly.
It might mean a lot more to them. So Tennessee Titans, we'll get you an update. Injury update. Good news for the Titans. We'll explain when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So, people, it's a new year, 2020. It's a new day. And maybe you're, you know, you've lived in your home maybe a year, or maybe you have an older home. Maybe your home is a decade old, or, you know, even older than that. And you're starting to see some problems with your foundation. And a lot of this happens because either there's extreme moisture and drought conditions. Sometimes are the main cause of your foundation failure. Soil swells during the wetter months and it shrinks during the drier months. This fluctuation can create voids, which allows your under foundation walls to crack. Well, if you're having all of this happen to your beautiful home, then why not call United Structural Service? This is a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. That's a long time. They have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That's a lot of customers. Here, listen. And some of their highlights are they got quality. Their reputation is stellar. A bunch of expertise within this company. And they have the one thing that you must have as a business, and that's integrity. So if your bricks are cracking, your walls are bowing, your doors or your windows sticking, drywall separating, stairs, steps, cracks, in the masonry or mortar joints. I've had some of that stuff. Your chimney's tilting a little bit or leaning. The Leaning Tower of Piazza. Is that how you pronounce it? I think so. Or your house may be your house may be trying to tell you something. You know, when you start to see these things, then call United Structural Service. They give you a free estimate. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. This company is locally owned. They are a foundation and waterproof company. They are licensed and insured. That's important. They are licensed and insured. And again, they have served more than 18,000 satisfied customers, residential customers. And listen, they guarantee their best, and they want you to call USS. And here's the number right here. 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275, or go online at USSTN.com.
Just feel disrespectful talking over this guy. I just feel like I shouldn't do that. But I know at some point he's going to say something and it'll get Marquise in trouble, so I need to say something.
We'll take it this far.
I'll pop that thing down quick.
Yeah. You know where it is. You know where the spots are.
I do.
Should I just let it play here so I get you in trouble?
I'm going to slowly just pot it down.
There you go. Morning Drive. Shout out to me. That's a good 2020 resolution. Just give ourselves more credit. How about that?
Like Quentin Williams when he sneezed, he's like, bless me. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Preds fall 4-2 in the Winter Classic. We'll see if we can touch base with Hal Gill coming up next segment. Again, the game, the outcome, not the way you wanted it to go if you're a Preds fan. Ryan Ellis also knocked out of the game in a second shift by Corey Perry. Just a stunningly amazing human being, Corey Perry. He'll have a meeting with the NHL. The rules and the safety commission and all that good stuff coming up on tomorrow, I believe. The Titans and Patriots have a playoff game on Saturday night, Derek, and there has been some news. And we got a text about this on the text line, 615-737-1025. My take was is that Adoree Jackson has been on the practice field 2 days in a row as a participant. It looks like he's going to play. Mm-hmm. And if he does, when I said earlier in the show, I said I don't think Adoree Jackson coming back solves all your problems and that his return is being overvalued by Titans fans. I had somebody tweet us and say, how is Adoree Jackson and his return our number one corner overvalued? Braden, this news is massive. Of course it helps. Of course it's important. Of course it's good for the team. I just don't think all of a sudden a defense that has not been good for how long now, would you say? A month and a half? Six
months?
A
month and a half. It'd be prior to his injury.
Since the Chiefs game, let's say, right? Has not been getting the stops it used to at the beginning of the year or last year. I don't think all of a sudden that that Adoree Jackson is this panacea that's just going to all of a sudden fix everything. And so it's a good, important move, and it's a positive step for Titans fans. I just don't think it's going to fix. They're not going to win the game because Adoree Jackson plays, right? Or do you think he's that important?
No, I don't think so. They do need him back, but their number one corner was Malcolm Butler. Let's not get ourselves twisted here.
If he came back, I'd be like,
that would be a different story.
I'd feel very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
But having Adoree Jackson back is good. But again, he hadn't played in a game. You don't know, it's going to take him a minute to kind of feel his way through this, get himself back into game shape. So yes, it's good to have him back. But again, I can see if he was the number one corner in the NFL. I can see if he was this shutdown corner prior to him being injured. And then all of a sudden he comes back. Then yes, I would say it's a massive change or a massive upgrade, but it's not. He's a good player. You need him out there because you don't have that much depth, but he's not going to single-handedly just change what you can do from a defensive standpoint. It's just not that way. Now, maybe they can blitz, Logan Ryan a little bit more because now Adoree Jackson's back. But even with that, you take your guy that is usually your slot guy in coverage, and you're blitzing them, you're still opening yourself up to potentially getting beat by Edelman. So, yes, it's good to have him back, but again, I just don't think he's going to. It's not like losing Derrick Henry and then all of a sudden Derrick Henry back. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're ready to go.
You mean like week 16 and week 17?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
when he rushed for 0 yards against the Saints and they lost, and then he rushed for 211 yards against the Texans and they won.
So, I mean, having him back is good, but he's not going to solve the problems that you're having on defense.
How much of a factor, and I might have asked you this prior to the new year, but you know what? That was 2019. That was a long time
ago. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
The amount of knowledge and more specifically, the practice and the preseason game. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen each other in the regular season, but these guys watch just inordinate amounts of tape, and they've seen everything there is to see on film of Ryan Tannehill and the offense and Derrick Henry. And like, is there really, like, does it matter that they practiced against each other and saw each other up close and personally and that they played a preseason game? It doesn't matter. Different quarterback. Tom didn't really play.
No,
like
it doesn't matter because they're not showing you anything in those practices.
Right.
The Titans didn't show them anything. They didn't show the Titans anything. And it was so long ago, man.
Half the defensive backfield is different.
Exactly.
Now.
So, I mean,
Jeffrey Simmons wasn't playing in those
exactly.
practices.
So, I mean, you can't. It's not like you've practiced against them for a month and, you figured out, each player's tendency and whatnot. That's just not the case. It's like any other team. You play against them in the preseason or you play against them 1 year and then you watch film. That's what you do. You got to watch film. You practice against them for 3 days, 2 days, and you watch film. That's where you're going to get what you need to get from is the film.
I think Vrabel playing for Belichick and winning Super Bowls for Belichick is the most overblown part of this entire.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
it
to
is.
Me, it means absolutely nothing other than that they're going to be cordial with each other before and after the game. Like, there's no animosity there probably between the guys specifically or personally. I just think it's blown out of proportion. Now, I think there is for the fans, there's a larger evaluation of John Robinson and the organization. You have sort of constructed yourself like the Patriots, right? You're sort of New England South. You've gone out and gotten Patriot players. Mm-hmm. You got a guy who played for Belichick as your coach. You yourself, John Robinson, worked for the Patriots. Like, you've got all these ties, so you are you're trying to build a culture, right? It's all about business. It's the locker room. It's the team, all this stuff. There is a larger conversation we could have about, hey, you're trying to be the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Are you succeeding or not? That's yeah. one conversation. I don't think it affects the way they play the game on Saturday.
No. No, not at all. It doesn't. You're going to go out there, and what you're trying to do is trying to put yourself in a position to win a football game. You're trying to make sure you continue to be consistent as a football team. The things you were doing, you know, last week, the week before that, you want to continue to do as an offense. As a defense, you want to try to minimize what they do as an offense. So the Titans' offense has been on a roll, and a lot of it is due to what Derrick Henry has been doing.
Right.
So you stick with that. You stick with that. You don't try to, you know, oh, let's reinvent the wheel. Let's start doing something different that we haven't done. No, you continue to do the things that you have done in hopes that it continues to, you continue to get the results you've gotten, meaning explosive plays, running the football very effectively, and not giving up as many sacks as you were the first half of the season.
Yeah.
That's all you want to do. And as a defense, you just got to try to figure out, you know, it's sort of this bend but don't break defense. You know, you can get as many yards as you want to from the 20 to the 20, but once you get inside that 20, that's when we as a defense need to stop you. It's better to give up 3 than it is to give up 7.
You know, you said that and, like, my heart rate went up because I just imagined Greg Joseph kicking field goals. And I'm going, you know what? If the Titans go up and down the field, but they have to settle for 3 a lot, and he goes, like, 2 for 4.
Oh, man.
3 for 5. Again, if you got 5 field goal opportunities, you're producing yards against the Patriots defense. It's pretty good. But I have a feeling that this is a, like Rex Rhodes said, this feels like 24-21, 21-17, 21-20. That's how this game feels. I feel like the Titans are close in this game, but it may come down to a field goal.
Yeah,
we've been waiting
right.
for this. It's happened like one time this year where we were like, oh, it's all about the field goal kicker, and it reared its ugly head against the Texans and hasn't really been a huge factor since Succop came back and now with Greg Joseph. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Yesterday, the Preds took part in something extremely historic. We'll put a bow on that when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I needed that, Marquise. Thank you.
You're welcome. I saw a band playing a cover of Tyler Childers yesterday.
Really?
It was actually pretty good. Not going to lie. Because, look, I had 2 instances where I had to walk by people playing covers. Now, it was one with this. It wasn't House Fire. I think it was something else. But it was pretty good. And then I walked by a bar, and they were playing Alan Jackson, Chattahoochee, and that was awful.
Yeah, that's your jam right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is my jam. But I left. I was like, how dare you ruin Alan Jackson's Chattahoochee?
Well,
I'm leaving.
I will say, so there's two
this
ways.
This place sucks. I'm leaving.
There's 2 ways to look at Broadway. And they're very, very different ways to look at Broadway. Like, and again, you know, I think it's Jason Isbell who said these cover bands trying to fake their way through Castles Made of Sand. There's a lot of cover bands downtown, and you're going to hear the same crap over and over and over again. That's one way of looking at Broadway, that they're going to ruin the Alan Jackson Chattahoochee for you. That's one way of looking at it, and I don't disagree with that angle necessarily. You can say to yourself, hey, you know, I've heard Chicken Fried 4,000 times. I don't need family tradition anymore either.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that. That's the way to look at it. That's one way. The other way to look at it is that our, quote-unquote, house musicians in this city would put every other city's house musicians to shame. Like, our people that are down there grinding, playing, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 shows a night on Broadway, those guys, if they played anywhere else in this country, they would be superstars. And so they're coming to Nashville and they're working their butts off and stuff. So it's you got to make sure you give some love. Always tip the band, man. Okay, they're down there working real hard. Just always tip the band. Derek always tips the band.
Yeah, I tip the band all the time.
Always tip the band.
But just don't play Gin and Juice because I had that happen and it was awful.
It wasn't good.
Rolling down the street,
smoking, you know.
Sipping on gin and juice. Lay back with my mind on
if
my
you're
money,
gonna do it
money,
well, I don't care if you do obscure covers. Sturgill covered, you know, In Bloom by Nirvana and did it really well. So you can cover weird stuff. A guy who always tips the band, Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's. Hal, first of all, I saw you check Chase McCabe into the board, so thank you for that. number 2, the first moment, because I know you guys went and toured the facility sort of in the summer when it was a little bit, you know, when there was the rink hadn't been built yet and it wasn't cold. Just sort of your experience? What did you feel? What did you think when you first walked out there and it was game day and there's people in the stands and this event is about to take place? Just sort of describe your feelings there.
It was really awesome. When we went to visit it, it was like, wow, this is a football, sacred ground for football. And then it was cool to see the transition when they threw the ice in the middle and made it what it was and what we saw yesterday. It was really kind of stunning, to be honest. It was perfect day, perfect setting. Everything lined up except for the win. You know, that's the only thing that wasn't perfect for Preds fans and for me.
Now, you're absolutely right, and Braden and I talked about it earlier, how the NHL got exactly what they wanted and probably more as far as, you know, the crowd, how they acted, the festivities before the game and everything
Pig racing.
Else. Absolutely. It looked wonderful on television. It really did, especially when Perry had to make the walk of shame. It looked really good then. you know, watching this team, and, you know, I heard one quote that was made by Pecorine, and he said, "We're in trouble." What do you say about this team moving forward? Because just when you think they've done enough to turn that corner, it's like they turn around and go right back the other way.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I talked to Pekka after the game, and Pekka was really enjoyed the experience, and you know, he was willing to enjoy what it was for what it was and kind of park what the game was. But he's right. It's you know, it's tough to lose, and no one wants to lose. He played fantastic too, and I just think when the team goes into a tailspin, they can't find a way out of it. And good teams, as soon as they sense that things aren't going right, and they fall back on their systems and they go back, and I just feel like the Preds can't do that. And you know, Stars scored one goal, and that's fine. And then they got the next one, and then it was the third one. It was like, whoa, that's where they started to slip, and then they just fell off the edge, and it was, and they just couldn't get it back. So it's you know, the Stars are a good team, and they played a good game, but I think the Preds are better than that.
Hal Gill joining us here, brought to you by Puckett's. And let's say you were playing still, and you were Ryan Ellis's defense pair, and you were playing with him, and in the middle of the ice on the blue line, for no real apparent reason at all, your defenseman, your pairing, your partner takes a shot like that. What is your reaction to the opposing player, and how do you handle that?
Well, it's tough because, you know, in the league for 10 years, there was a time where everyone was, you know, your D partner would get hit and you'd have to go fight, you know, like, you know, even if it wasn't a dirty hit. You know, that one, I don't know, like, I know this sounds awful, but Corey Perry is going through and you know, the only way to not hit his head is to not hit him. And so, you know, as a teammate, you go over and you fight him. But, you know, the body language on Corey Perry was, oh, I messed up. That was not a good hit. You know, right after he did it, he knew it was bad. And the way the league is now, guys get suspended, and you don't go and fight them. The guy just gets suspended. That's the punishment. It was tough to watch, though. It was just the way Ryan Ellis was on the ice. It was scary. No one wants to see that. And I really think Corey Perry knew he messed up right when he did it.
Yeah, I could hear it in your voice, Hal, when you said it, and it, like, hey, Ryan Ellis is still laying there. Like, you could hear your voice with the concern level, and it's probably because it's Corey Perry for Preds fans, right? If it's any other person, you may look at it just slightly differently, but when there's track record and there's history, it's hard for Preds fans to maybe put that aside And like you said, he might be remorseful, but you know what? When you've done it this many times, it's hard to get the benefit of the doubt at this point.
Yeah, and he's gonna have his meeting and he's gonna get his punishment. It's just you know, it's tough when you're on the ice, you want to go and beat the guy senseless, but it's also you have to realize the game has changed,
right.
And that's not the way it goes anymore.
Can that galvanize the locker room a little bit to some degree? Like, hey, who knows how long Ryan Ellis is out, whatever, but can it galvanize a locker room that's struggling and they can rally around something like that, even if it is, like you said, not really the way the game is played anymore?
Yeah. I think this fighting is always going to have a spot where I think the Preds could use a good Donnybrook, just go out there and start swinging. I think that's something that's missing in the game right now, that, you know, some teams do it. And, you know, I think we saw St. Louis do it with themselves. They started fighting each other. They just, you get that aggression out and you come together as a team. So, for sure, that's something that galvanizes the team.
Did you go down swinging last night, Hal? That's what I'd like to know.
Absolutely. I can't. I'm sorry about my voice right now. I was struggling as the game went on. My voice started to go, and then last night I went down swinging. That's a good way to put it.
That a boy, Hal. You are a modern American hero and my personal idol and icon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's. Yeah, it sounded like Hal had a good night last night.
Yeah, it did. Hey,
the old bad chucker. He went down swinging last night.
Hey, Hal can do it, man. If anybody can do it, he can.
You know what? I'm with him, though. The Preds could use a good Donnybrook right now. Like, just go out there and start swinging. Meanwhile,
as soon as the face off, after the face off, just drop the gloves.
Can you imagine what it would like lead SportsCenter? It would be all over television.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. It's just like, and again, in an era where we're so sensitive about, like, need to be, and rightly so, sensitive about head injuries and all this stuff and the violence of the game of football and all these other things, could you imagine on a highlight, a top SportsCenter top 10, if at the puck drop, all five guys
just
throw their gloves down
just
and just
going
start
at it. It's like, huh? What are y'all doing?
He's not wrong, though. He's not wrong. There needs to be some level of intestinal fortitude here where the Preds got to do some internal checking. And, hey, if that means they fight with themselves, go for it. I'm with Hal on that one. There needs to be a fire lit somehow because they are tied for last in the Central Division standings. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, what's on tap tonight? A little daily rewind. Find out what Munson's got for you guys right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get to what's on tap tonight. Tennessee and Indiana in the Tax Slayer Bowl coming up, I believe, this evening. National exposure for the program there on its own stage. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive. But before we get to that, we'll let you know what's on tap coming up in just a minute. But before we get to that, let's rewind it back, Munson. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome to 2020, everybody. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Munson for short. I hope everybody's 2020 is going to be outstanding and fantastic and amazing and all that good stuff. And better than the Preds' third period yesterday in the Winter Classic. So we'll get to you, Corey Perry. But let's just stay positive, Derek, because it is 2020. It's a new year. So let's start the new year with a little bit of positivity. And that is that the event itself was spectacular. The second largest crowd in the history of an NHL game, 85,630 people for a hockey game at a football stadium in Dallas. Two southern markets represented for the first time in this event.
It's one of those events that, you know, you put on in any sport. It's something that you put on that's not quite the norm, and you try to make it as fun and exciting and memorable as you possibly can. And I'm pretty sure, you know, from the pictures I saw of people that went, they enjoyed it.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic.
So, I mean, I think from an event perspective, it was about as great as anyone would hope. And then, of course, the game was kind of representative of this season so far. You know, it just seems like this team, when things start going the other way on this team, it doesn't have an answer for how to stop them. And that's just how it looks to me. And I don't know why, and I don't know the solution, but it just seems like we've seen that way too often this season.
It's funny because vodka and tortilla chips, they all now say gluten-free.
Yeah.
They've never had gluten in the first place. There was never any vodka that had gluten in it to begin with.
Do they really have a gluten-free on vodka?
Tito's, right on the jar, it says gluten-free. Tortilla chips. Now, every bag of tortilla chips you go pick up at the store says gluten-free.
Are you serious?
Because they never had gluten in the first place. Stop tricking us with your marketing.
Oh, my goodness.
I know we were talking about Tom Brady, but now tortilla chips are trying to get one in over on you.
Hey, man, that's how they trick the consumer.
They're just putting gluten-free on everything, and it's like, dude, you never had gluten in you.
Slapping gluten-free on diapers. I didn't know.
There was never any gluten in the diapers. Wes Rucker joining us here.
I do think that they do want to see what they can look at for next year, but I also think they've gotten some of bowl practice to see some of that stuff. That's why I think if you're a program like Tennessee, the 15 bowl practices to me matter more than the actual result of the bowl does, because you get a chance to see a lot of these guys do a lot of things. Yeah, I think will there be times that during the regular season he would have hesitated to play guys, but he'll play them in this game? Yeah, I absolutely think that'll be the case.
It's Casey Alexander, Belmont head basketball coach.
Well, I mean, it's obvious the advancements that has made, all that have been made all across the board under his leadership are pretty phenomenal. I mean, and most of it way out of the realm of my thinking, but, you know, the television packages and the money, and gosh, you know, what those guys are playing for, and the whole game in general, huge influence.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's.
You know, it's tough to lose, and no one wants to lose. They play fantastic, too. And I just think when the team goes into a tailspin, they can't find a way out of it. And good teams, as soon as they sense that things aren't going right, and they fall back on their systems, and they go back, and I just feel like the Preds can't do that. And, you know, they scored one goal, and that's fine. And then they got the next one, and then it was the third one. It was like, well, that's why they started to slip. And then they just fell off the edge, and they just couldn't get it back. So, the Stars are a good team, and they played a good game, but I think the Preds are better than that.
Well, you're busy.
Yeah, why is this?
You're busy.
I'm always busy, man.
Marquise was busy. Keese was apparently hosting the Winter Classic Watch Party yesterday.
Oh, man.
Munson is producing the show right now, but apparently Marquise.
Mm-hmm. Keese was.
It was Keese on New Year's Eve or Marquise?
Yeah, it was Keese. Keese was two nights in.
Oh, okay.
It was a two-night special of Keese.
Keese took over and never left for a couple days.
Keese woke up and just put his same Keese clothes on. Not the same clothes, but Keese clothes on and went right back out and went to Tin Roof on Broadway.
He didn't mean the same. He didn't mean the actual same clothes. Yeah.
You know how hard it is to get them brown Legos.
Thank you, Steve. And Keese. Sounded almost like some Keese Stone there. Remember that commercial, the TV commercial on all the football games from a couple years ago? Keith Stone. For Keystone Light Beer, I think.
Keystone.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like that. Don't got a ring to it.
No, it doesn't. Okay, that's fair. Just trying stuff out here in the last few minutes of the show.
I appreciate that, man. I
throw it on the wall, see if it sticks.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to throw ideas out there and see if they stick. And I don't like that one. That one doesn't stick.
Okay, thank you, Marquise. I'll take that under consideration.
You're welcome, sir.
Next week.
Good talk.
Gluten-free diapers, by the way, the highlight of the show. I think that was my favorite part of the show. Winter Classic yesterday, just, quick wrap-up of what is a spectacle and a celebration of NHL hockey. Just a fantastic event. The outcome, of course, has its own issues where we've discussed ad nauseum what the Predators' issues are, but that does not take away, in my opinion, it does not take away from the celebration of the moment, the spectacle of the moment, the game itself being the second largest attended hockey game in the history of the event, two southern markets being celebrated. It was costly in the standings. It was costly with Ryan Ellis's injury with the Corey Perry elbow to the head. But I think by and large, the way Nashville bought tickets and traveled, the way the stadium looked yesterday, you know, I thought it was a great showcase for the game and for the sport and for both franchises. So I think it was a monumental success on the surface. There are obviously bigger issues with this Predators team as it pertains to the future of their playoff push here.
No, kudos to the fans that traveled. Kudos to the team here, the 102.5. The game team for traveling there, for making it possible to get great coverage on radio.
Did you see how Gill checked Chase McCabe into the boards?
I didn't see it.
Go check Twitter.
Okay, I need to check.
How Gill just rocked his world.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
And Chase, of course, thinks it's the best thing that's ever happened to him, and rightly so. I would also take a check from Hal Gill.
I wouldn't take a check.
Well, you got shoulder problems.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. But kudos to the men and women from the station that traveled there. Great work by you guys. Great coverage. Kudos to the fans that made the trip to support the Nashville Predators. I hope all of you got back safely. Had a good time, but got back here safely. We were just hoping that, you know, they put together a win, and they couldn't do it. And I hope what Pecorino said doesn't come to fruition. I hope it's just one of those things where you're frustrated and, you know, you say, and it's like, okay, but right now they are in trouble.
So, yeah, absolutely great words there for everyone that was out there. Darren, Willie, Ryan, Gina, all the great folks that worked to give you guys, Predators fans, the best coverage of the Winter Classic. You know, they had to do it in spite of Chase McCabe. Despite of Chase McCabe, he was there too. And, you know, like,
I was there.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he, you know, he was there, and like, despite
I'm
his
still there.
His weirdness, it was still tremendous coverage, Chase.
Yeah, and look, Hal Gill checking me into the boards is the greatest thing that's ever
happened.
That was
happened, a highlight of
your
life.
It was great.
I mean, that was hot. Was that a highlight to the was that the end of the year, or yeah, was the highlight to the end
of
the
year? Yeah, that was the best way to end 2019 and start a new decade in 2020. I mean,
he took it easy on you too, by the way.
He did, but you know what? I felt he was impressed how I took it. He felt like my form was good.
See, there's an art form to falling. There
did
is.
Did you embrace it, or did you try to give some?
I don't think he was expecting it.
No, I wasn't. It caught me off guard. And then he did it again. He did it twice.
Oh, there's hit one you again? On video.
Yeah. He did it twice, and both times were on the air, which was great.
Fantastic. And you didn't even stumble, right? You were like, and Marcus Mariota doesn't deserve to play anymore. And that was it.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah, that's how it was.
Well, paint us the picture. I know we got to get out of here, but that's what people are going to, you know, give us real quickly. What's your number one takeaway?
My number one takeaway was this was a really, really cool event. First time covering this, and I wish the Preds had gotten a win. I know you guys have talked about it this morning. We're going to talk about it, you know, about what's going on with this team right now, but I thought both franchises were awesome in how they put this on, and the fan bases. The thing that was so cool, when the Predators scored on the power play in the first period, it felt like a home game because you could hear the chants, the goalie chants, and all that stuff. And I heard it came through on TV. So that was neat.
Very cool.
A lot of fun.
Music is playing, which means Munson is ending Chase's speech, a la the Oscars. Chase is coming up with the guys for the next 4 hours. Chase, thank you so much, man. For Derek, my name's Braden. His name's Munson. Thanks for listening to Morning Drive, everybody. Back tomorrow with a huge preview of the Titans-Patriots.
Bailey DJ Nashville, Happy New Year. Be safe, and I love ya.